I have a little thought that I'd like to present to you today over in the 13th chapter of Matthew. And I sure appreciate Jesus today and his care and concern for us. In the 44th verse, it says again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and sell all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? They say yes, but I can't help wondering what, I wonder what Jesus would have done had they have said no. I think he asked that because it was important to him that they understood. He was teaching them. He was loving them. When you love someone, you share with them. You want to give to them. It is the nature of love to share and to give. You love someone, you want to give them the very best that you have. You want to give them all that you can give them. If you love them, that's the nature of it. It's what it is. And so Jesus shares this with them. These are eternal things. These are things that are more valuable than anything else that can be shared or give to a person. These are the most valuable of all things that Jesus gives to them. So he asks them, do you understand? If they had said no, my mind is that he would have maybe have said, well, let me do it again then. Let me try again. Let me give you an illustration right down where you're at. And Peter will say, well, now wait, I was a fisherman. Well, Peter, I got a fisherman story for you. I got something for you. And maybe Matthew says, no, I was more in the mathematical part of things. I didn't do much fishing. I got a numbers equation for you, Matthew. Or maybe one of them says, no, I'm a carpenter. I got a carpenter illustration for you. But I want you to get this valuable information because I love you. But they didn't say that. That's only speculating. But they said, we understand. Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of the treasures of his treasures things new and old. So he says, okay, you've understood then. Therefore, or because you've understood, you've gained something. You have got something very valuable. Because you said yes, you understand what I've told you about this. You know, and Lord help us here, that Sister Marcia made a little statement there about it never gets old. It's not supposed to. In a way, in time, it's old, but it's never supposed to be outdated. Amen. Yeah. The experiences of God aren't time-related in that sense. They're eternal. What God has done for you is God. It can't run out. It can't be worth. What God done for you in your youth is valuable today. It will be valuable as long as you're here. It will always be valuable. It never loses its value. It is God. And God doesn't lose His value. And so He said every scribe, and I think this is a broad definition, but He meant minister. He meant them. But it's a broad idea. It's you're a minister. In some capacity, everyone in this room has a capacity, not a pulpit minister maybe, but no Christian's not supposed to be a minister. We all minister. And you say, well, why would I minister? Law dictates you ministering. Because a true minister ministering is nothing more than to share because of love, give valuable things to love. To the people you love. You love people. You have pity, you have passion, you love, you give the best you have. Why would somebody sacrifice to go out on the streets to talk to a drunk, a drug addict, to lift them up? Why would you do that? Love. Love dictates it. It's what motivates it. It is to give what we have in you and say, I don't have anything. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. If God has ever spoke a word to you, you have something. If God ever touched you, you have something. If God has ever worked in your life, you have something. What He was trying, I believe, to say to the apostles here is He wanted them to say first that they understood, because now He wants them to know, maybe to some degree or another, you have a storehouse. You have what you're supposed to have then. You've understood. And in that understanding, you can now give that understanding out. So He says it's to... Therefore, every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like... If like is this parable idea, like this. I give you an illustration so that you can understand deeper and better. Living for God is like a householder. Somebody that is the head of a house. I'm a head of a house. I assume some things because of that. But I assume that my family is going to need some things. That's why we have a pantry with food in it. I don't just live for today. I live for tomorrow too. If the Lord comes back and our pantry's full and we don't get to eat that, that's fine. But if He don't come back, we've got to eat tomorrow. That's the way it works. I'm a householder and I have things that I have to deal with. I have to assume that the children need an education. I have to assume they're going to need clothes. They're going to need food. They're going to need all of these things. He says it's like a householder. Somebody that's had things. This particular thing says of treasury, it's like a granary. It's a storehouse of things. Of all kinds of things. It's not talking about silver and gold necessarily. It could be some. But it's talking about mainly fruits. Things that's valuable, eat, things like that. And he's a householder. And it would do you no good to be a householder, to store up a bunch of stuff like a miser and never bring forth. You know, the Lord wants us to be a people that bring forth. Did God do something for you? It's a part of a treasure. That this world needs. Not only the world needs, your brother beside you might need the treasure that you have sometime when he's run down, cast down, put down, oppressed or depressed or discouraged of life and things are happening. He needs your experience that you've treasured up, that God has given you, and he needs not only for you to have had it, he needs you to be willing to bring it forth. Well, you know, this says of all things, bring out of his treasure of all things, as a householder would. It's time
it's time to eat. What do we need to bring out? Sometimes in its seasons, folks, you know what we do? We go out and pick fresh things out of the garden. In season. In season, there's a time that we get fresh vegetables. It's season for fresh vegetables. We can have fresh vegetables. You never want to just rely on the old. It's a time sometimes to go out and get new, more stuff. There's times for that. But then there's season that there isn't corn on the stalks. There isn't tomatoes hanging. It's the wrong season. But we've still got something. We've got the old. You know, I really appreciate. You know, I feel like sometimes I know people that I never met. Now, we all know this. Because I don't want to exaggerate. But if I haven't heard among the saints 100 times... that there's a message in every song, and that Brother Lewis Williams said that, if I haven't heard that 100 times, I don't think I've heard it at all. I must have heard it 100 times. I've heard that over and over and over in my years of living. I've never heard that. Why? Why? Because there's a message in every song. And because that was something that somebody had. Somebody got something from God. I believe that God is giving something of song, of a meanings of song or something. I think he wanted to relate. I think not everybody even really got what he tried to say. But I really think that he wanted to draw the attention to, you will be blessed if you'll get the message in this song. When this song was written, see, it went beyond. Brother Lewis Williams didn't write all the songs that he said that about. He was going to a storehouse of old things that God had put. You know that if God inspired a song, that song will be relative until the time runs out. Because that's God. And God doesn't run out.
Amen.
And he tried, I think Brother Lewis Williams, I think there were some things that B.E. Warren wrote under the inspiration of God way back at the turn of the century. And Brother Lewis Williams had drawn them out and got the message and was trying to get you to get the message and bring it out of the storehouse of the experience. Have you ever had God in a time that you had need? Have you ever had a time that God gave you a song? I'm not even a song-oriented person, and God has given me songs in times of encouragement. That song was written by somebody under the inspiration of God, and it comes out of these times, and then God pulls it out of the storehouse and gives it to us in that time. And do you know that God wants that to be? He don't want us to lose that in our lives. So now when I'm discouraged, that comes back and I can sit and encourage myself in the Lord with that. But it isn't just to be to me, folks. That is to be brought forth because we love. I can love you and then support you in a lot of ways. But if I love you, I'm going to want to give you the best thing I've got. I want to give you the most precious treasures that I have. The Lord was speaking to his disciples in this kind of a way. That we, everything that God does, don't lose that. Don't let it get distorted or spoil in your storehouse without using it.
Yes.
Bring it forth.
Yes.
Renew it. Live it. Live it. Is there anyone in here? Is anyone in here ever had God to touch you physically until you absolutely know the hand of God touched you? Is anybody? We always say, I don't want to see a sign of hands, show of hands. Yes, I do. We'll see a show of hands. God ever touched anybody in you? You knew God touched you. Do you know that's valuable? That's value, and it never will be meaningless. It's meaningless because we have a God that does that for us. And in a world that has God so so vague. God is vague and abstract. And people teach that you can't live, and He doesn't make a difference, and you don't live with Him all the time, and you don't let Him work all your life, and you don't let Him lead all your life, and you don't let in that kind of a place. The world needs to know that there is a God that walks with us and talks with us and touches our bodies and helps our mind and spirit and lives with us and helps us and draws us, and that's in our treasure. And what else do I have? What else do I have? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I to thee. I don't have us, but from the treasure of my heart, I've got an experience with the Lord. I want to give you. I want to give you the best things, because the bottom line of it is everything else is superficial anyway. You give me money, I'll spend it. Then what will I have? Not much. Whatever I bought it for will wear out. But there's things that are eternal that God wants us to recognize. This is what I have. This is what God gave me. God saved me. Amen. And I still have it, and it's still just as relevant today. Going on 3 decades. That is as relevant. When God dealt with me, convicted my soul, brought me to the place of repentance and saved my soul, it's still relative. It is a story that is still relative. And you know what? I don't tell it every day of my life. But I've got it in the treasure house. And when the time is right and the season is right for me to tell that story again, I've still got it just as live as it's ever been. And I give it because love dictates it. It's my most precious thing. So we do live. Don't devalue the old stories. I know we've heard them. We've heard them. I never... Brother Dries Gibson died in about 1968. I was only born in 62. I didn't come among the saints until 86. And sometimes I feel like I know him. He traveled around. He was in our country. People remembered him. They remember that. They told the stories. He was this about. And I remember some of the things the Lord did for him. I can't even say that personally, but I still see the treasure. I still see the treasure in it. Brother Gordon Humphrey told me a little story. He said him and his wife was going home one time from a meeting or something, and they was running out of gas. And he didn't have no money. And he knew there wasn't enough gas in the car to get him home. So him and his wife got to praying, and the more they drove, the more they prayed. And the lower the gas got, and the more they did. And they still didn't, and the money didn't increase. They didn't have any money. They couldn't buy gas, and they couldn't get that. And they was in a place. And so finally, when they got to a point, they didn't want to just plain run out and stop, and the car couldn't move. So they got to a certain point. He told his wife, said, "I'm going to pull over here at this place, and I'm going to go pray. The Lord will help us." And he said he got out of his car and he went to go down this place to pray. And he looked, and there was a $20 bill laying right there. And he said, I don't know what you think, Brother Marty, but I think that was the Lord." Well, Brother Gordon, I do too. I think that was the Lord. And that's worth saying to those that would say, "Brother Marty, I feel like the Lord's... I feel like the Lord's pulling on me. I feel like the Lord wants me to step out of faith and do something, but I'm afraid. I'm fearful to do it. Whether the Lord's going to take care of me or not, these are big moments and all that." Then I can say, Brother Gordon shared something with me one time. Now, I've got some things to share, don't get me wrong. But I can say, he had something in his treasure house. God done something for him, and he brought it forth. And I want to bring this forth too. God will help you. You serve with God, God can make a way where there is no way. God can bring something out of nothing. God can put you in the right place at the right time. God can soften the saints' hearts, and He can soften sinners' hearts to help you. God can make the right thing come by at the right time, because He's God and He can do it all. And I bring that out of my storehouse of knowledge and understanding. He said to them, "Do you understand?" "Yes, I understand. We serve a mighty God that can help us in any situation. Yes, Lord, I understand, because we're going to have to be like a scribe. We're going to have to be like the scribe. Now, we're a minister. Do you understand? You're like a householder. You're like a householder in the kingdom of God. You have people around you, and you're the householder. And all of a sudden, my brother's discouraged because he don't know which way to turn. But I got something in the storehouse for him. Yeah, I've been in a place where I didn't know which way to turn. And I didn't know what was happening. And the only thing I could do was throw myself on God. And He never fails the broken and the contrite. What would you tell somebody that comes for those kind of places? Well, you see somebody that's got something in the storehouse. You know, you can go pull the old out. And I'm kind of focusing right now on the old. But we don't want to leave it old.
Amen.
Yeah, Brother Gordon had his experiences. Brother Gibson had his. Brother Pruitt had his. Brother Stover, Brother Carver. I've heard them, and I never met any of these men. And I've gained from their godly lives that they lived and what they experienced in God. I've gained. But that's not good enough. I got it in the storehouse because I cherish it and love it.
Amen.
But I need something more too. In season, there's got to be something new. There's a couple new like songs in this book, but very, very, very few. These songs are valuable. They're inspired. They're a blessing. But I wonder sometimes if God wouldn't like to have another half a book with new songs. Where I can say, yeah, I knew that brother, and I knew the experience that drew about that song. There was something new. I'm not saying I know that. I'm just saying I wonder sometimes if God, working His perfect will in our life, wouldn't have some songsters writing some songs and some inspiration songs, because we're to draw from the warehouse, the storehouse, the treasury, the old things. They're valuable. They're God. But He didn't say that. He said the new and the old. God wants us to draw. There was an analogy here that it's the Old Testament and the New. There's an idea here that we're not to put the old, all that Old Testament. No, there is valuable lessons to the gospel in the Old Testament. There, it is a schoolmaster that brings us to the understandings. It's valuable to us. But we need the new too. We need the dispensation of the Holy Ghost working in our lives till we have an experience of, I put my hands on somebody under the inspiration, and the Lord healed them.
Amen.
God working. I look to the old, but I need the new. I remember one time my little boy was sick. And it was Marty. He says, he's always, Dad, pray for me. And I went and prayed for him. I prayed because he asked me to pray. That's why I prayed. I prayed because I believe in prayer. But I didn't pray because I was inspired to pray. But I prayed. I believed. I prayed. But nothing happened. I prayed for him. I went to go away and I'm like, oh, Daddy, pray for me again. Pray for me. He's just going back to pray for me. So I went and prayed for him again. But I prayed for him because he asked me to. I really didn't have any more than that. And then I walked away. And I remember I was going into the kitchen at my house. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you pray for him again, I'll heal him. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord speaks to you something, do you want to suppose that the third prayer was different than the first two?
Yes.
Oh, inspiration filled me. God spoke to me that I'll do this for you if you do this. I tell you, I got down and prayed for him. It felt different. It sounded different. The inspiration come. And the healing came right on after it. And the Lord healed him. Do we need to be close to the Lord? Can I give you something out of my storehouse? There is nothing valuable. There is nothing that'll work. It'll collapse underneath you. Trust me. If you don't live close to the Lord. That is where it all comes from. It all comes from the Lord. And we can get this sensation sometimes that I can do it because I'm a strong individual, or I go on accomplishing things, living right by my strength. It doesn't work. Because the power comes from the Lord. I look back. My son is married now and they're expecting their first child. And this was back when he was a little boy. I need that again, Lord. I need it again. I can get that for you. It's vivid and alive to me because it's God. But I need it again. I need in its seasons and times, I need God to inspire my life. I need the direct inspiration to give something to somebody that is fresh and new and alive and real. Relevant to 2000 and almost 16. Relevant to this day. Another song. These are great. Another one. That relates to what's happening on the streets. It's what's happening in our environment and around us. Something that touches the things now. These are relevant to it and always will be. We need something new too. A new inspiration. I think of the story of David and Goliath. Yeah, David was inspired by God's work of the lion and the bear. But it's got to work something else here. Do you know that story didn't run Goliath off? If it did, he could have just said, Goliath, I killed a lion and a bear. Oh, I'm sorry, then let's get out of here. This guy kills lions and bears. It don't work that way. It'll work so fun. It's good for encouragement. It's good for inspiration. But don't run the giants off. Those giants need beat off. They need killed. They need run off. We need the power to do that. But I think of the story of David. Because in my mind, David obviously had a heritage of stories. Because they didn't have it put down. You couldn't go on the internet at that time and find them. It wasn't wrote down in paperback. It was told around the campfires. Jesse told his sons because his dad told him and him and him. And I imagine that, I imagine David heard the story of the walls of Jericho falling down. The power of God. How inspiring. That these people willing to follow the instructions of the Lord to the T, done what God said, and then God fought their battles and tore down walls that they could never tear down. That would be inspiring, wouldn't it? For somebody that believed and cared, that would be a great story to put in your arsenal. To put in there and in its due time when somebody has a need and they say, I've got some obstacle in front of me that I can never get over. You can say to them, but brother, the walls of Jericho fell down. That's good. Of Gideon. Of those faithful men, David knew about the past of the things that the judges and those that were faithful and what God done. I think he must have knew that. And in his mind, in his heart, God was a winner. God was a winner. God wasn't a loser. God was a winner. He believed it. God wins. He didn't look at the odds. God didn't. The old stories had nothing to do with the odds. The odds was against the walls falling down. The odds was against when the army was too big. The army was against it. And yet God worked against the improbables, the impossibles. Now, here comes David. Full of the old. He had all the old. All these blessings and power. All these things was alive in his mind and heart. But he's about to prove anew. Folks, Lord help us. We need the new too. We need something always inspiring. So David, goes up and sees about to see the battle. I don't know. I like to suppose these kind of things. Put my place in the situation. There's a young little ruddy lad goes up there and well, now I know they accused him of this, but now he was sent up there. But you get, it's impossible that he wasn't interested. It's impossible that it didn't fascinate him. He goes up to take his to greet his brothers and the captain and take him some corn and bread and some cheese. And he goes up and out steps by providence Goliath. And David, no doubt, is as old boy is going to pick up now. We're about to see God. Now, what we're looking for. If I love you, I'll give you the best I got. This is the best I got. Everything else will perish, but the things of God are eternal. They'll last forever, and they're so relative to our lives. They're so relative to everything we do. They're so valuable to get us through things, to help us. No, we don't face men, but we face giants. We're full of this world is full of giants that we face. It all means something that's so much bigger than I am. I face them all the time. It's bigger than me. Lord, this is bigger than me. And here's David. And he walks out. I know what he's thinking. The armies of the living God. It's the army of the living God. It can't go down. And yet when he saw it, it was going down. What's the matter? This is not... I want to say this right, that there isn't any confusion. We're not talking about a specialized group of people. We're talking about the church of the living God. Where salvation makes you a member. We're not in exclusive to anybody. But we are talking about the church of the living God. It's got to be special. It's got to be above. It's got to be higher. It's got to be above this world. It's got to be something more. And it can't go down. Can it? No, you can go down. And I can go down. But the institution he made can't go down. David's there in a contradiction in his mind. How can this be? I'll go fight him. Well, you don't have a chance. But don't I? Are we looking at ourselves and our own abilities and a way of accomplishing? Is that what we as a group we're going to do? Folks, the old is relevant. And the new's a must. We've got to have more. So he says, I'll go do it. You can't fight him. And the word goes to the king. What? Something's working here. Maybe this is what the only way. A little boy with faith in God. They had all the old stories and it didn't work. But now it was season. Season now. We don't want to eat the old now. It's time for the new. You know, there's a lot of new out there if you want it. I mean, there's a lot of new if you want it. There is experiences for you. If you want to go, get them, they're not easy to come by in the flesh. But I'm going to tell you, there's experiences out there where God wants to show you who He is. He wants to show you His power. He wants to make you. You know, we have this little old, so I think some people's got a little experience of God, and they come and they got this little box and they flip up the lid of it. Got it's about like this, and they can reach in and pull you out some little things that God done. But back in, I got something. I'm not throwing off on that. That's not the way God wants it. God wants you to go and throw up some double doors. And I've got experiences. God has enlightened and made this word alive in my soul. I already spoke this word to me, and now I've read it before, but now I know what it means and how it applied to my life. Now it encouraged and inspired, lifted me up and gave me life when I didn't have any life. I've got that in the storehouse, and wide open, here it is. great rooms of storehouses. I can go into the street and somebody has a need. Oh, I've got something to fit you, brother. I've got something to fit you. I got a word of prayer for you. I got a scripture. I got an experience. I can tell you an old experience. I can tell you a medium one. I can tell you a new one. I can tell you one you can have if you're faithful. You understand? He said to his table, you understand? Yeah. I understand. Good. Because you need to bring it forth in its season. I gave you these words to bring forth in their season. Bring them forth to feed people, to bless and love people and help people with. Folks, this is never to make. We say, well, this experience was to myself. It may be. But you store it up and God will call for it one day. And then when you all know, then all you say, I thought that was private, I thought that was personal, there'll be a time that there'll be somebody at the altar weeping and crying and needing it, and God will bring it to you and say, now, here it is. The treasure of your heart. You can give it, and I'm going to tell you, folks, this can't be bought with price. There is no money that can gain these valuable things that the Lord has done. You know the story of David ends well. After all that he believed that it should be different, because this is not the way God is. God's victorious God, and this isn't the way this has got to end. So he steps up to that and inspired the whole nation of Israel with a little bit of courage, opened his little storehouse of faith. I've got faith in God, and I'm, you know. That can be contagious. He stepped out there with the odds against him and all that, and he stood up and he brought down the great giant Goliath, the champion of the Philistines. And you remember what happened? The Philistines ran. And now these guys that wouldn't fight, wouldn't do anything, didn't have courage. Now therefore, we're going to go, and they chase them to the setting of the sun, right? And now there's courage and stuff. Oh, Lord, help us today be inspired that out of our treasure, you have something that is valuable. You know, there's times that it's amazing to me how little it takes. It just takes a little sometime of somebody saying, I was having a hard night last night, and the Lord gave me a song in the middle of the night, and it goes like this. And them start singing under that, you feel the inspiration of God around, and it just gets everybody going. You say, well, that don't seem like much. Do you realize that that's eternal? That's the valuable things. You can't buy the inspiration of God. You can't buy somebody loving and sharing with you. You can't buy it. Oh, Lord, help us. Young people, old people, everybody alike. I am convinced God has a great storehouse of the old. And He has a great plantation. He has great fields. He has great vineyards of the new. He's got new wine, if you will, to drink. He's got new experiences, new fruit to eat. He's got new things. It's all around us. We have a world that's dying, and I mean, it's lost and dying. You can't tell me He's quit. He hasn't quit loving. He hasn't quit working. He hasn't quit dealing. There is experiences for you to testify about. And I'm not critical. Everybody go testify. I don't have a lot of testimony services. They wait on somebody to stand up and say something so everybody can feed off of that. That's fine. Testify like that. But sometimes I think, boy, if was out there picking that new fruit, was out there getting that, you come in, you're saying, God answered my prayer. We was down, and this man, he was down, he's needing prayer, and he couldn't get to it, and God opened the windows. Oh, what? It's out there. It's out there. Lord, help us to have the desire in our hearts, the start of this meeting,
and the days that follow. There's going to be a lot to put in your storehouse, in your treasure. If you'll get the message. It's got a good there's a good message. There's an experience. There's altars experiences. Don't ever look at the altar as a bad thing to go to. Or I'm going to show somebody I'm less than. No, no. This is where you come and get the treasure that you can share with somebody else. This is where God is met. There'll be in a little piece of eternity here for you. It'll last forever in your soul. It'll be valuable. So, therefore, do you understand? Do you understand? Yes, yes, we understand, Lord. Therefore, you're going to be like a householder. And you're going to have in your possession these things of responsibility. And the world is your household. The church is your household. Those that are around you, and the Lord is asking this particularly, will you bring forth? I can multiply it and bless it, but will you bring forth that understanding that I'm giving you? Bring forth that love. Bring forth that faith, and I'll bless it. You pray for me.